Hare Krishna, dear devotees, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Sanatan Dharma Prabhu to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 26, Verse 11. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much Prabhuji for joining and giving your sweet association. Hare Krishna. We are very fortunate to have you on the call Prabhuji. Before I hand over the call to you, I would request Raj Prabhu for the brief introduction. Raj Prabhuji, over to you.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Dandavat Pranam to you and all the assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Shri Guru and Gauranga. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam Prabhu to you too. So there is a brief introduction for our lovely Sanatan Dharam Prabhuji. Sanatan Dharam Prabhuji is a brahmachari from ISKCON Pune. He is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj and has been practicing Krishna consciousness for more than 12 years. I think it should be 13 now because I'm listening this from last 1 year. Prabhuji
that
has studied.
Introduction is made in 2018. Just in.
So about 17 years now. Thank you for clarifying, Prabhuji. I was thinking of this other day actually.
We can so edit that, Prabhuji. We'll edit it.
Yes, Mataji, I'll do that later.
No, that Prabhuji, is my job. I should be giving you the latest one.
Prabhuji has studied B.Tech from NIT Trichy. Prabhuji has also worked as a senior manager in Tata Motors Pune. His current services include area management and project development head at the areas around Pune. Prabhu is a counselor, youth and corporate preacher, congregation preacher, secretary at Voice Organization, and he is also a remote mentor for NVCC Pune Temple. Prabhuji knows many languages such as English, Hindi, Tamil, Malayalam, Bengali, Marathi, Telugu, and Japanese. His degrees include Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, IDC, and teachers training courses. I will also like to add, Prabhuji has a very beautiful program on Hare Krishna TV. It's called Sidhi Baat Prabhuji Ke Saath. It's a very beautiful program. If somebody like to see, it's in Hindi. It's a very amazing program. Prabhuji answers so many beautiful questions there. And Prabhuji has a request like every time, and many devotees are already on the video. So if the kind devotees, if possible, can turn on their videos, that should be really great. Thank you. Over to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji, for the beautiful introduction. And thank you, Prabhu, once again for your valuable time and association. As Prabhuji's request, everybody please turn on your videos. Hare Krishna, Prabhu, over to you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Very grateful to all the devotees who have come, and especially very grateful to those who have cared to turn on their videos. Hopefully after the Mangalacharan, many more devotees may also consider this humble request of mine to turn on videos. There's a big logic behind it because I feel inspired only when I see devotees, obviously. I just walked in and there was a devotee who was giving a session. And I could see that even his video was not on. So he had turned off his video. Everybody had turned off their video. And I was wondering, how are you giving this class? It's not possible for me at all to do this. Right. So thank you. Thank you very much. I need devotee association. Let's start with prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhobhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Ukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Shri Chaitanya Vishwaram Paramanandamadavam. Hare Krishna. So, welcome to all the devotees for the Srimad Bhagavatam class on Canto 5, Chapter 26. And today we're going to discuss Sloka number 11. Okay. So, thank you. I just thought of giving a brief overview. I think Raj Pro is very proactive. You stand it, no problem. I'll just give a review and I'll ask you for the projection. All right. This chapter is very, very interesting. Because many a times when we are like these preachers, and especially with this attire as a sadhu, saffron brahmachari, so many people walk up to us and they ask us different questions. My God, different questions. The moment the people look at somebody like this shaven head and tilak and this dress, people think, oh, they have license to ask anything and everything. So I got one question. I've been asked many, many questions. Yes. The weirdest question I ever got was, who has married you or whom you are married to? And I was like showing this color. See, what is this? I say, yeah, correct. But, where is your wife, etc. Then I had to take out Srimad Bhagavatam and show, yes, I'm married to Srimad Bhagavatam. All right. So this is a very weird question, especially in India. You can't expect that. So, yes. So many people ask this question. Do you believe in heavens? Do you believe in hell? This is a question that is asked. Heaven, hell, do you believe in it? Even if you look at Christianity, there's a lot of talk about heaven and hell. Islam, Jannat, Jahannum. There's a description. And it is very important for all of us to not just know, because many times in many of the Abrahamic religions or other scriptures, we find a mention of heaven and hell. But when it comes to the Vedas, it comes to the Shastras, it comes to Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a thorough, vivid description. In fact, the title is a description of hellish planets. Yes, it is not just telling that hell exists, no, but it's gone beyond that. There's a description of hellish planets. So where are these heavenly planets situated? Okay. So last time, I think I had discussed about Rasatal and Patal. Remember all of you something before the glories of Anant? If you all, okay. And I remember discussing because I had prepared. Okay. So as we had discussed, this is the universe. This is the universe. And here is the Bhumandala. Right? We have the Bhumandala right in the center. Okay, and this is like a plate, as we have been discussing, a plate, like this. And we have the Meru Parvat here, etc. Yes. And then we had discussed that the hellish planets, Atala, Vitala, Rasatala, Mahatala, Sutala, Patala, Rasatala and Patala, Sutala I missed, third. Yeah, so like this, these planets, these are all Bilva Swargas. Bilva means caves or dungeons. Yes, that is Bilva. Bil. In Hindi, this is a very common terminology. Bil means the place where the rat resides, the hole in which rat resides or snake resides. It's called Bil. Okay, not the Bill of English, where you have to pay bills. Correct, not that Bil. This is Sanskrit Bil. So the hellish planets are situated here. The 28 hellish planets are right here. If I want, I can zoom it for all of you. Okay, I'm not able to zoom. Yes. So they are in the southernmost part of the universe. The last section here. So this is the portion where all the hellish planets are there. And this particular distance is called as 99,000 yojanas. Yes, this distance. So we study this in the Shastras. 9,000 yojanas, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, something like that. So the person is made to travel this distance in 2 to 3 seconds. This is mentioned in the Shastras. It's very fast. Yes, and there was a recent Siddhi Bath, which became quite viral, where 4 episodes I have taken on this hellish planets, etc. That was a series. It became very, very viral, and many, many questions were asked in this regard. Yes, so this particular distance is supposed to travel in 2 to 3 seconds very quickly. So you can imagine the velocity, the speed at which in which the person has to travel here. So this is the position of these hellish planets, right? So the topic is about the description of hellish planets. So initially, this chapter begins with Parikshit Maharaj questioning about why living entities are put into material situations. Yeah. And then the Sukadeva Goswami gives answer that the material situations depend on the type of activities that the jivas do. Based on the type of activities that one performs, one gets the different material positions, which is called sthanam. Sthanam. There are 10 subject matters of Bhagavatam. Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanam utayah manmantra ishanukata nirodha muktir ashraya. So prominently, the subject of sthana or the position of a living entity, that is discussed in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Sthanam, that subject matter. Of course, everything is there in all 12 cantos of Bhagavatam. Yes, Acharya says everything is there everywhere, but one topic is very elaborately discussed in detail. So the fifth canto is about sthanam. And this is the aspect of sthanam. How do the living entities get their respective positions? So that is the question. That's how this chapter begins. Yes? And then, Shukadeva Goswami, what I have described to all of you, he gives the location of the hell. Yes, it's Sirnaraka is situated below Patala. Yes, below Patala and above the Garbhodak ocean. This is mentioned. He also gives a description of activities of Yamraj. What is Yamraj doing there? The king of all the Pitras is called Yamraj. That is the position. He is assisted by Aryama. That is mentioned. And then he goes on to describe the 28 types of hell. Some say 21, but Shukadeva Goswami goes on to describe the 28 types of hell. Okay, so now what are the hells described so far? So we had discussed about Tamishra hell. Tamishra, Tama, it comes from this word Tama, means darkness. Tamishra, very dark place. So anybody misappropriating another's property, wife, child, money, such a person is put into this region. Yes. And he's beaten badly, he's made to starve, he's not given any water, he faints because of chastisement. We heard all these things. Then there was description about Andhatamishra. My God, Tamishra means dark. So what is the meaning of Andhatamishra? Very, very dark. So darkness is multiplied, the superlative degree of darkness, you know, pitch black. That's the situation there. Tamishra, okay, there may be some ray of hope or light. Andhatamishra is, my God, more than that. So somebody who is cheating and enjoying others, wife and children, more or less a similar situation. But here a person is given even more. In fact, he's a person who is put into severe kind of miseries. He loses his intelligence, he loses sight. He's not able to see anything. He's called Andhatamishra because he's not able to see anything there. Nothing. There's no eyes. Yeah, there are no eyes. He doesn't have intelligence to see, perceive, and neither does he have eyesight to see. That's why it's called Andhatamishra. Yes. And the 10th and 11th sloka together speak about one type of hell, which we are going to be discussing today. So 10th was called as those who accept oneself as the body. Prabhupada would very often quote this. Yas, yasyatma buddhi kunapetri dhatuki swadik kalatradishu bhomya ijjati. Yattirta buddhi shalilena karihichit janeshu abhinyeshu saeva gokaraha. A cow or an ass. So that's about identifying oneself, misidentifying oneself with the body and not the soul. So that was the 10th verse. Now, what about those who are in the 11th sloka? What happens? So we're going to be discussing the 11th sloka, which is our subject matter for today. Yes, Raj Prabhu. So this is the shloka.
Yattu iha yathaivamuna vihimsita jantavah paratra yama yatanam upagatam ta eva ruravo bhutva tatha tameva vihimsanti dasmat rauramamiti ahur rurur iti sarpad atikrura satvasyapadeshah.
Okay. Can someone read the translation for me?
In this life, an envious person commits violent acts against many living entities. Therefore, after his death, when he is taken to hell by Yamaraja, those living entities who were hurt by him appear as animals called Rurus to inflict very severe pain upon him. Learned scholars call this hell Raurava, not generally seen in this world. The Ruru is more envious than a snake. Should I read the purport, Prabhuji?
Definitely, yes, Prabhu, please.
Thank you, Prabhu. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. According to Sridhara Swami, the Ruru is also known as Bhara Shringa, Ati Krurasya Bhara Shringakya Sattvasya Apadeshaha Samigna. Srila Jiva Goswami confirms this in his Sandarbha Ruru Sabdashya Swayam Muni Naiva Tika Vidanal Lokeshwa Apasiddha Evayam Jantu Visheshaha. Thus, although Rurus are not seen in this world, their existence is confirmed in the Shastras. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, His Grace Sukhakar Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you.
Yes. No problem. So, Srila Prabhupada says the learned men, yes, Vipaschitaha, Ahuhu, they call this particular loka as Raurava, because this is the place of Ruru birds. Yes, the birds are called Ruru birds. So, who goes to this? Just to revise what we read. A person may be working hard, very hard, day and night. For what? For maintaining his body, for maintaining the bodies of wife and children and other dependents. But in course of such kind of job, yes, in course of such kind of job, one ends up committing a lot of violence to others. Yes, he may want to maintain his people, but in due course of that, one commits violence unto others. Such a person is put into Raurava. Yes. And it's very natural to commit violence in this world. Yeah. We clap hands, we commit violence. We speak, we commit violence. We walk, we commit violence. We lit a fire, we commit violence. And thus this material world is designed in such a way that we are committing violence knowingly as well as unknowingly. It happens. We cannot live without it. That's how this material world is created. So, the living entities who are hurt, who are a product of this, who are the victims of this violence of a person, they all, need not be just animals, all the living entities, they take the form of Ruru bird. Yes, mostly everyone did this. I did this, now retired. Yes, you have retired from Maya service completely and dedicated to Guru and Krishna. His Grace Prahlad Anand Prabhu Ki Jai.
Jai.
So, this is what happens. Yes, they all take the form of Ruru bird. I actually had seen a picture. I'm not getting it now, but there was a picture of a Ruru bird coming and eating up the intestine of a person. Very cruel picture. The Ruru bird was coming, and that was something which was visible. So they all take the form of Ruru birds, and they harm. They cause severe pain to that person. See, he has such a body which is called as Bhogayoni. So in that Bhogayoni body, no matter what happens, the person is not going to die. But he will only receive suffering, nothing else. So in this world, generally you cannot see Ruru. How can you see Ruru? Who is Ruru? Well, you cannot see Ruru in this world. But one thing we can understand, that's why you have to see through Shastra Chakshu. Through the eyes of Shastra, you can see that. But we can understand that Ruru is more envious than a snake also. Usually in this material world, there are two envious animals, snake and scorpion. These two are considered very envious. Modaye tapi sadhunam vrishchika moha sarpahatya. So when a snake or a scorpion is killed, then even a sadhu takes pleasure because they're so envious. That's what had happened. Once what had happened was there was a snake who had come into the ashram of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructed his disciples, take the stick and beat up this snake. Beat him up. Kill him. And Srila Prabhupada was shocked. My God, such a compassionate sage, such a learned person, such a pure devotee of Krishna, lover of Krishna. He is he's feeling delighted upon the snake being killed. So Srila Prabhupada externally apparently got bewildered. But when he came across that verse in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, then he realized, oh, now I can get how my Guru Maharaj behaved. He behaved as per the Shastras, because if the snake was not killed, the snake would come and kill somebody else, right? Somebody else. And it would cost the life of a Vaishnava. Because snake is by nature envious. You don't have to go and taunt the snake or tease the snake. The snake would directly come and bite you. It's a very envious creature by nature. Okay. So whenever the purport of Srila Prabhupada is less, the homework for the preacher increases. Preacher gets more homework when Prabhupada's purport is less. So, well, let us talk. So we'll talk about certain features in this particular purport, which is practical and relevant to all of us. So Srila Prabhupada was once asked a question. Srila Prabhupada, how do we understand that we are Krishna conscious or we are spiritual in our consciousness? Yes, how do we understand this? Srila Prabhupada very simply, he gave a very simple answer. He said that the moment there is envy in your heart, you are in material consciousness. But if you are not having envy, you are free from envy, then you are completely spiritual. You are Krishna conscious. In fact, in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful shloka, which 7.1.26. In that particular shloka, there is a word called nirvaira. Nirvaira. Nirvaira actually means free from envy, free from enmity, or free from violent activities. But that is translated equal to as bhakti. So Prabhupada writes that word equivalent as Krishna consciousness or bhakti. Because only when you become a devotee can you actually become free from envy. Even as a yogi, jnani, no, you cannot be free from envy. We had gone to a place which is called Tatwala Baba. The place is called Tatwala Baba in Rishikesh. Yes. And that particular place, we went there, we wanted to know what is the Tatwala Baba place. So Tatwala Baba was a very, very famous yogi. He was very well renowned. People used to worship him and he had a lot of yogic siddhis. And he had a good following. So many people used to come for taking his darshan, to see his mystic opulences. But there was another Baba and yogi who was staying nearby. He got so very envious of Tatwala Baba that he took a gun and shot him. He just shot the yogi. Yeah. So even in yogi circles where people have given up all the mundane affairs of this world, even in such a circles, there can be envy. Envy can be there. So we can understand the nature of envy, which can go only when you take up the Krishna consciousness. All right. So envy has three stages. The first stage of envy is called as asuyaha. Asuyaha. Asuyaha means it starts with some kind of unhealthy comparison. You compare things in an unhealthy way. Okay, why does that person have so much? Why do I have so little? And then comes dvesh. Dvesh is a point wherein you have compared, analyzed, dwelled on that particular thought for a prolonged time, and then you are totally uncomfortable. You're totally distressed, anxious, because that person has more than you. And you're planning, what can I exactly do to rise up or pull the other person down? That is called as dvesha. And finally, the superlative degree of envy is called as matsarya. It's called matsarya. Matsarya means what? Matsarya means you're just not thinking about this in the mind, but you also are acting on it. You're making special endeavors and taking efforts to pull the other person down if you cannot go up. Yes, pulling the other person down, dragging, leg pulling, blaspheming, trying to do what not in your power to pull down the other person. That's called as matsarya. This is how this material world is characterized, Prabhupada said. In this material world, envy is the name of the game. That's what happens in this material world. And if you're non-envious, then well, you are going to definitely board the aeroplane back home, back to Godhead. So before proceeding ahead, I would like to ask a question. Why are we studying this chapter at all? You all may say, Rahuji, we all are going to, we are waiting for Krishna to come and take us back home, back to God. These hellish planets and all this stuff, this is something that we are definitely not going to see. Yes, no more. Now we have joined Srila Prabhupada's movement. We are chanting Hare Krishna. Many of us have all got initiation of Guru. We got Guru's mercy. We got this initiation. We got spiritual names. We have everything. Then why do we need to waste our time in studying this? Because we are anyway not going to go there. So what is the purpose? Every time in my study of Srimad Bhagavatam, I always try to find out why should we study that section. Because when your why we do what we do is very strong, then you become even more intense. So yes, so Her Grace Sundari Gopi Mataji is going to answer my question. Yes.
Be super cautious that, you know, we don't take bhakti very casually. And phook ke kadam.
Yes. I'll complete the trace for you. Doodh ka jala chhas bhi phook phook ke peeta hai. That means a person who has got burnt because of the milk will also keep, he'll keep blowing the buttermilk as well, which is not hot. Okay, nice. Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. So we have to be cautious. You cannot be lax. We cannot be relaxed. We can't be complacent. We cannot be neglectful. We cannot just like that commit sins saying that, oh, there is a certain class of people who say Jesus will take all our sins. Yeah, we do everything and Jesus will take all your sins. Similarly, we cannot keep saying, oh, Mahaprabhu will take our sins. Prabhupada will take our sins. Gurudev will take our sins. We cannot justify like that. We have to be careful of sinful reactions also. Thank you, Mataji. That was a good answer. Purifying our consciousness. Oh, this is an answer given by... Okay, Anita Mataji. She says that, okay, every word of Srimad Bhagavatam is purifying. Ultimately, everything, Lord's creation is going to be described. And we are reading about the hellish planets. This is a part of Krishna's Leela only. Ultimately, to reform the conditioned living entities. And hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is purifying to heart. All right. Anyone else? I do not mind going to hell provided I could preach Harikatha. This is Prahlad Maharaj consciousness exhibited by His Grace Prahlad Anand Prabhu. Jai. Narayana parasarve na kutaschana vidyati swarga apavarga narkeshu api tulyartha darshana. I can go to hell and open his concentre there for Srila Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada. So nice. What a consciousness. I wish I could have a drop of it. Okay. Pallavi Mataji, to see Bhagavan in all things. Okay. So we are seeing Krishna's hand even in this particular hellish planet where Krishna is so very concerned to reform the mentality and attitude of living entities who are outwardly rebellious, sinful, autonomous, autocratic, and they just bogged up with their own selfishness. All right. We'll give another chance to Sundari Gopi Mataji. I think she had one more answer to contribute.
It shows how much he loves us. He doesn't want us to do, you know, mistakes and mistakes and mistakes. He wants okay. really us, you know, clean us and back to him. He really, really loves us.
Okay. So this is Krishna's supreme love. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu. Yes, Karuna Sindhu. Dhirga. He is so very merciful. He is so very compassionate that he is giving the situation. We shouldn't be facing all this. So he's getting us away from all these things. The more you advertise the negativity and the problems, the more we get repelled towards that situation and we will not be committing these blunders at all. So, Jivera Kripa Koile Krishna Veda Puran. Maya Mukta Jivera Nahi Swata Krishna Gyan. Jivera Kripa Koile Krishna Veda Puran. So, this is also another aspect of compassion where Krishna is giving us the truth so that we don't get dissuaded in another path. Okay. This last reply by His Grace Sureshwar Shyam Prabhu and then I will give the answer.
Prabhuji, I was remembering one mantra from Ishopanishad. It says, only one who can learn the process of nisciens and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality.
I think this is 11th shloka.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, vidyamscha, vidyamscha ubhaya. You should have knowledge of both. The knowledge as well as nisayans. So we are studying nisayans also here. I know there are many more hands up. Don't worry, we'll have more chance to answer. So I would right now like to speak. A devotee reads this particular section. Because if you look around, there are people who fall in this category. Who are simply working hard day and night. For nothing else but the maintenance of the family. What does Bhagavatam say? Bhagavatam says very clearly, Nidraya rihate yaktam vavayena cha vavayah diva charte hiya rajan kutumba bharanena. So 2.1.3 of Bhagavatam. What is Bhagavatam saying? Bhagavatam saying most of the population of envious householders, what are they doing? They are simply spending their nights in sleep and sex life and the daytime in earning money and to maintain the family. That is what they do in their life. And these people are sent to Raurava because they don't care anything about their spiritual life. Yes, they don't have any kind of, they don't feel the need for spiritual life. They don't have anything to give and take with Krishna, spiritual world, nothing. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, they have no interest in all these things. They are simply busy living their materialistic, miserable life. So through this, we understand this clearly that maximum portion of population are going to suffer here. So a Vaishnava understands this particular section of Shastra to develop the compassion to preach Krishna consciousness and avoid people from going here. That is the reason we study this section. Yes, you're all going back home, back to Godhead. And if you all pray for me, I also have a hope. But we have to read this particular section. For what purpose? Yes. Okay, what is the etymology of Kutumba? I don't know exactly what is the etymology, but Kutumba in one sense, the word root of Kutumba, it means family. I don't know the etymology. Sandhi Vichya, no. Kutumba. Means I've heard it as family only.
I heard like ku is something bad.
A ku, okay, like action. That. Please go ahead.
That's what I understood. I don't know about the other sense.
And Tumba. Not heard really something like that. I've not heard it. That's why I didn't attempt. Okay. But why do, but they do worship Krishna occasionally on festivals, etc. Still they would go to hell. Well, in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Yamaraj says that those who have not bowed down their head once to the Lord. Yes. Shiro no namanti mukunda lingam. If he don't bow down the head once, the jiva navakti harikatha. So the jiva navakti, the tongue is not chanted once. The head is not bowed down once. Yes. The hands are not worshipped once. Correct? Yes. These three things, not even once, please get them. But he never says that who have done it once and then engaging in nonsense, don't get them. He doesn't say that. So there is always a risk. We cannot be cheating Krishna. We cannot be pious materialist. Yes, that is something we cannot do. What is pious materialist? Yes, pious materialist is the person who goes on with the nonsensical activities of sense gratification and also worships Krishna. No. Bhagavad Dham is a place of ananya bhaktas. Bhakta tu ananya shakya ameva vidojana. Nyatum drashtum cha patatvena praveshtim cha paramtapa. It is only those who do this ananya bhakti, they are the ones who become eligible for going back to God. Yes, we cannot cheat Krishna. Krishna says, Dyutam chalayatam asmi. I am the cheater of best cheater. I am the best cheater. You will not find any better cheater than me. Right? So, we cannot just go on with our nonsensical duties and say, okay, we worship Krishna also. Nah, that will not work out. Okay, it's like Kutum is house and Inba means happiness. Okay. Thank you for the information. I'll verify that as well. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes.
Prabhuji, could I say something, Prabhuji?
Definitely, why not?
Prabhuji, please forgive me if I am not correct. But because of the fear of sins or aparadha, we should not stop the to serve Krishna. I mean apradhon ke dar se hame Krishna seva kabhi prabhavit nahi honi chahiye. For example, if we are in hospital because of our own karma, then agar hame waisa spiritual environment nahi mil raha, of course in hospital we found not kind that kind of temple environment which we need for a pure chanting environment, jo pure environment hona chahiye, wo nahi mil raha hai. So in that case, we can't stop the chanting. Na? I mean, the fear of aparadha, we can't stop our activities to serve Krishna, which is my understanding. We have to keep this thing that we don't do aparadha. purification is must, but only because of the fear of apradh, we should not stop serving Krishna. But I want to say, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please correct me if I am wrong. Hare Krishna Prabhuji,
thank you. You can raise this again when we have the question answer session. Thank you. Okay, I have not even started the class. Class is yet to start. Anyways, so going back. So if you look up, we just discussed about why we are studying this section. We are studying this section so that we develop the necessary compassion to save the souls who are going to go here, who are destined to go here. They have to be saved. And we have to be humble instruments of compassion in the hands of Guru and Srila Prabhupada. Yes, that is the reason we are studying this section. All right. So let us look at envious people in Shastras. Yes, envious people in Shastras. We have the example of famous Duryodhan. My God, Duryodhan was so very, very envious of Bhima, because Bhima had a lot of raw strength and he would intensely practice. He would intensely practice because his goal of life was to kill Bhima, to defeat Bhima, because he could not withstand that how Bhima was so very powerful, having the strength of 10,000 elephants. He couldn't withstand that. Very, very envious person. We also see the example of envious people like Hiranyakashipu. His outward envy was for Vishnu. And because Prahlad was a devotee of Vishnu, he became envious towards Prahlad also. And what is the result of such an envy? The result of envy is automatically violence. Yes, violence. Duryodhan, what not did he do? He tried to give the poisonous cakes to Bhima, to murder Lakshagraha, he house of Lakh. He had made them go there and there was an attempt to burn them. Yes. Later on, he attempted to commit violence against Draupadi, and also he usurped all the wealth of the Pandavas. Then he wanted to kill the Pandavas via the medium of a war. Yes. On the pretext of war, he wanted to kill them, wipe them off. So that's what he wanted to do. And even his intention to send Durvasa Muni to the house of Pandavas was not a noble act of making Yudhishthir Maharaj earn some blessings. No, it was for Yudhishthir Maharaj to get the curse. And even in the Ratsuya Yajna, Duryodhana, you know what department did he choose? Everybody had to take some service in the Ratsuya Yajna. Duryodhana chose the service of counting the gifts. And each time a gift would come to Yudhishthir Maharaj, his heart would be burning in envy. So a result of envy is violence. Out of envy, a person commits violence. That's what we understand. Even Hiranyakashipu, as a result of envy, what did he do? So many activities of violence. He had opened up a new department. A department exclusively meant to terminate Prahlad Maharaj. Yes, by putting him under the elephant, putting him in the pit of poisonous snakes, by feeding him poison, throwing him from the top of a cliff. Multiple assassination attempts. And Prahlad could survive everything because of his constant remembrance towards Krishna. But otherwise, he was very violent in his terms. And also, if you look at the examples of the people who are not exactly demons, but who have committed some violence, is that of Indra. Now, Indra's example is quite relevant to all of us. Why? Because you may say, Prabhuji, we are not like Hiranyakashipu. We are absolutely not like this Duryodhan. We are not demons like that. But yes, but we also have envy in our heart. This is very much there. Like Indra. Indra, why did he... Actually, insecurity is another aspect of envy. If you see, Indra had 100 yajnas. He had completed 100 Ashwamedh yajnas. And Prithu had completed 99. So who was greater? Indra was greater. But he was insecure. He was insecure. He was not yet, Prithu was not yet there, but still he was insecure that, my God, this guy does 100, then there won't be difference between him and me. So this is also another aspect of envy, because of which he was committing the violence of stealing the horse. He was committing the violence by introducing newer and newer heretic systems of religion and thus contaminating the entire universe. That's an act of envy. So insecurity is also something that may come in the heart of people. Yes, verbal violence also definitely happens. So the act of committing violence is very natural when there is envy in the heart. Envy. So now one may ask a question that, when do we exactly get envious? We get envious when we see somebody successful in a particular field which is matching with our field. Now I'm having an expertise in one field, example kirtan, and somebody else also has the expertise in the same field, kirtan, then there's a good likelihood to be envious. A cook will never get, a devotee who's expert at cooking bhoga for the Lord may not get so much envious of a person who's a kirtani. But a kirtaniya will get envious of another kirtaniya. Somebody is, who thinks he's really good at giving katha or classes. He would be very, very envious of another person who is giving classes and katha. Oh, how can that person be better than me? No, it is not fair. So the heart burns with envy. It can happen. A book distributor, envious of another book distributor. In Srila Prabhupada's time, there was heavy, heavy, unhealthy competitive spirit in the beginning. Yes? So there used to be two bus parties. And both of them used to say, yeah, we will do more than you. No, no, we will do more than you. We have more mercy of Prabhupada. No, we have more mercy of Prabhupada. And there used to be fighting, fighting. So what one party did? One party went and they removed the air from the van of the other bus. They just deflated the tire. Yeah, now today we will do more book distribution than you. Yes. So I just got reminded of a story. The story was of a Gurudev. So there was Gurudev who was lying down, and traditionally in Gurukul, the disciple would perform Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanto Guru Hitam Acharan Dasavat Nichaha Guru Sudrada Sauhridam. So disciple would perform different menial activities for the pleasure of Guru, such as even massaging the feet. So once there were two disciples called. One disciple was told to massage the right leg. Second disciple was told to massage the left leg. So one disciple was massaging the right leg. Other disciple was massaging the left leg. And both of them, I will massage nicely. Other person, no, I am going to massage nicely. No, I. And when the person got really upset, what did he do? The disciple massaging the right feet started pinching the left feet. Yeah. And the left one said, you're pinching my feet. I will pinch your feet. So he started pinching. Oh, Guru is shouting. Oh, what is this? Oh, what is this? Stop it. So this is what exactly happens as a result of mutual envy that is there amongst disciples. Violence is caused, but who suffers? It is Guru and Guru's mission that is suffering because of envy. Deflating tires. Oh, you deflated the tires. A team that had potential to distribute 100 Gitas, that day the score was 100 less. So what got compromised was Srila Prabhupada's mission. This is something which is not understood by a broad-minded devotee. Lack of broad-mindedness, a narrow-minded person. When we say, oh, only I will preach in my zone. You cannot come to my area and preach. Yes? Not, you cannot come to my zone and preach. By that, what is happening? By that, we are depriving that place of a good preacher. No, this is my area. How can you come to my area and preach? This is outright envy. Yes? Yes, there are certain protocols of preaching. But if there is some good Vaishnavas association that can benefit our yatra, we should be welcoming. After all, we are one family. We are all children and grandchildren of Srila Prabhupada. We should have that broad-minded outlook that it is Srila Prabhupada's mission that is benefiting. But this kind of envy can creep into our minds if we are not in a good state of consciousness. Envy towards, no, oh, that person has, suppose there is a yatra. I'm not talking, it's a hypothetical situation. There's a yatra, and in that yatra, there is a speaker who has announced that I will be giving 7 days of katha. Oh, that person, how dare he launches a 7-day katha without our permission? We are the committee members. How can he do this? Not so, we'll call him and cancel. Oh my Lord, we should never ever stop the Harikatha. Stopping Harikatha, stopping Kirtan is the work of demons, not devotees. So if somebody is preaching, we should encourage the preaching endeavor. If somebody is nicely singing Harikatha, we should encourage that, even if that devotee is a young devotee. Yes? Sarasa champaka arnava datu yaham sasukati tiribarhinamya kolahalo viramate vihamatra mucche brindadite harikathamiha gayamani. So there are wonderful birds in Vaikuntha, the third canto, 15th chapter. So all these birds are beautiful singers. But when Bringadipe, when the honeybee comes, who is singing, he's singing, he's humming something like Harikatha. So they all stop. They stop screaming and shouting, and they allow this Bringadipe to do Harikatha. That's the non-envious environment of Vaikuntha. Mandara kunda kurabotpala champakarna punnaga naga bakulambuja parti parijata gandher chite tulasika bharanena tasya yasmin tapasu manaso bahumanayanti. We understand that how non-envious is Vaikuntha atmosphere. There are so many beautiful fragrant flowers. Yes, parijata. Yes, punnaga, bakula, ambuja. So many flowers which are so very fragrant. But as soon as Tulsi Maharani comes, they all respect her. She is not a fragrant flower. She is a simple plant. But yasmin tapas sumanaso bahumanayanti. She is very dear to Lord. She has performed so many wonderful austerities by which she has become very dear to Lord. She never leaves the lotus feet of Lord. Lord never leaves her. That is the position of Tulsi Maharani. So they all respect Tulsi Maharani. That is the non-envious atmosphere in the Vaikuntha. Yes. And because we have come from this material world, we have this particular feature. Because we have collected envy from material world. Lifetimes after lifetimes, by our materialistic association, we have accumulated this envy. So how exactly does this envy go away? Shukadev, our Suta Goswami, in the Bhagavatam, gives a very, very beautiful shloka in the first canto, 18th chapter. He says that actually the glories of Lord are unlimited. The glories of Lord are unlimited. And just as every bird can fly to different heights, similarly, every preacher or speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam is empowered differently to speak the glories of Lord, to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So to the degree we have been empowered, to that degree, we should serve Krishna. And to the degree somebody else is empowered, we should appreciate the empowerment that is coming from Krishna. It is Krishna who has empowered the living entity. Yes? So what the living entity is exhibiting when the living entity is doing good kirtans or a good nice bhoga making the devotee is doing, or nice decorating of deities, or the devotees very wonderfully speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, quoting shlokas, quoting bhajans, having a profound memory, you know, erectic memory, and all these features, what is exactly the devotee displaying? The devotee is displaying the opulence of Krishna. Yat yat vibhuti mat sattvam shri madurjitam eva va tatta deva va gacchatvam mama tejum sa sambhavam. So Lord Krishna very clearly describes in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 41st shloka. He describes the 81 types of opulence, and then he says, etc. When he has to say, etc., he sees that whatever opulence that you see, the whatever the talents, whatever achievements, whatever accolades, whatever wonderful things that you're seeing in this material world are nothing but my opulence. They are a spark of my splendor. That's what Lord Krishna says. So whenever we are looking at Vaishnavas who are exhibiting the spark of Krishna's splendor, we should glorify that. Oh, it's so wonderful. Krishna's opulence of singing is manifested in this Vaishnava. Krishna's opulence of humor is manifested in this Vaishnava. Krishna's opulence of very wonderful cooking taste is manufactured in this, you know, manifested in this Vaishnava. So very nice. How glorious is the Lord. So this particular shloka of 10.41 helps a person who has been gifted with opulence to remain humble, because he understands that doesn't belong to him. And the understanding of the shloka of 10.41 makes one, when you look at others' talents and achievements, they make us free from envy. Why? Because that opulence belongs to whom? To Krishna. And that living entity is simply reflecting that opulence of Krishna. Yes? So that is why, what do we say? All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So how many glories left for us? If all glories are given to Prabhupada, what is left in our pocket? Theta, zero. What about, then all, what is it? All glories to Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga, all glories to all Vaishnavas, then what for us? That's how Bhakti Sangha Japa starts, right? Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Sri Guru Maharaj, all glories to Guru and Gauranga. That's a wonderful culture. Right in the beginning, we are going to distribute all glories. So nothing remains with us. So understanding this particular concept is something that makes us free from envy. Yes, free from envy. Apart from this, I would like to give a couple of examples for even maintenance of family. I was reading a very beautiful section from Adhyatma Ramayana, which was about Rama Nama Mahima. So this is this beautiful Sanskrit there, but I'm not quoting the Sanskrit here. So the story is about how Sita, Ram, Lakshman, they assemble in the ashram of Valmiki Muni. They come there. And Valmiki Muni says, sit down. I will tell you the glories of the chanting of Ram Nam. So can you imagine? He is telling to Lord Ram the glories of chanting Ram Nam. Yes, so he tells that. So there, in that particular book, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has commented on this section. So it is his book, which is called the book is called Shri Harinama. That is the name of the book. Beautiful book. One of my students had gifted me. So in that, this section comes. So he says, he talks about his life, that he was actually a Brahmana, but his mother had kept him near the river, the shores of the river, and she had gone to take bath. So with the current of the river, this baby, it went with the current and went and fell in the land of Kiratas. Kirat, we have heard of this word Kirat? Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulka, Shabhira, Shumma, Yavana, Kasadeya. Very low class people who are mostly hunters, thieves and rogues. They are called Kirat. So he went into the family of Kirat. But he had the sacred thread that was there and which he maintained lifelong. So even with the sacred thread, he used to eat meat. He used to steal, he used to rob, he used to cause violence and all these things. But for what? For maintaining his family. So he became a highway robber and his name was Valya Gowda, or sometimes people say Ratnakar. The two versions. It's okay. It doesn't matter. Valya Gowda or Ratnakara. So one day what happened? He was about to attack. He was about to attack a group of people. And he went near and they were a group of sages. He got mesmerized seeing the wonderful effulgence coming out of the sages. Oh my God. And he just stood there. And he addressed them. Oh, Dvijottama. Oh, the best of Brahmanas. And they called him, yes, please tell us Dvijadama, the worst of Brahmanas, because they also saw he had a sacred thread. But this fellow was engaged in activities of a hunter. Yes. So yes, Dvijadama, tell us. He's saying that I become a high. So he just mentioned that how I became a highway robber, etc. Because of association. What to do? Then they said, why are you committing this sinful activity? He says, for maintenance of family. I'm doing this to maintain my family. Yes, that's what is this particular verse. People who cause violent acts to maintain their family, like Valya Gowda. So they told him, you please go home. We are waiting here. We will not leave anywhere. We are waiting here. You please go home and find out if the family that you are maintaining, are they ready to accept your sins, which will come out of you causing this violence? He said, please wait a minute. I'll just go home and come back. So he went to his wife. Yes, and told that, my dear wife, you are my Ardhangini. Yes. So everything that is mine belongs to you also. You're my better half. So please tell me if you will take half of my sins. She said, no way. Get lost. She said, go away. Then he went and asked his children, what about you? It said, actually in the Shastra it's mentioned he had many wives. Not just one, he had many wives. He had associated with a lot of low-class women and produced children. So he went to all his wives. They all said, no, nothing doing. Get lost. You tell her to take if you want. He said, okay, all right. I'll go to my children. The children, I maintained you all my life with this particular activities. So could you please take my sins? They said, no way, that's your duty. You're supposed to do that. So you only have to bear. So you do the sins and you bear the sins also. My God, he got very disappointed. He came back and he just comes and offered prostrated obeisances to the sages. And the sages, then what happens? They give him a mantra. They say, please chant Ram. And he tries. He cannot chant. I'm not able to chant. They say, no, I'm so sinful. I'm so degraded. I'm so very fallen. I'm not able to chant this. They say, okay, chant Mara. This is all right. This looks easier. I frequently use this. Mara, Mara, Omar gaya, Mara. So he says, Mara, 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 Mara. Mara in Hindi means he's dead. So Mara, 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 Mara. So he kept chanting this Mara mantra and the sages left. And the sages came back after a long time. And when they came back after a long time, they were hearing the sound. Maram, 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 Maram. They're hearing that, but that sound was coming from an ant hill. Yes, because ants had formed a hill on his body. And then they instructed him, oh, with rapt attention he chanted. Nothing else. He renounced all his activities, all his fallen activities, and just took to the chanting of the holy name exclusively with rapt attention. And he kept chanting, kept chanting, kept chanting. And thus the sages came. That's all. It's very important to do follow-up as well. You just can't give instruction and walk away. You're supposed to do follow-up. So he came to follow-up. How is it? How is our student doing? Is he faring well? And they came and they could hear the sound. So they said, oh, my dear son, please come out. So he came out from the anthill. Anthill is called Valmaka. And because he came out from the anthill, he became Valmiki. And they said, this is your second birth. So now henceforth will be called as Valmiki. And because you have chanted the names of Lord so purely, you will be empowered to explain the glories of Ramayan. You will be empowered to explain Ramayan to the entire world. Yes, Ramayan. So he becomes the author of Ramayan. Because you chant well, you are empowered to write nicely. Once what happened, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj was there in Jihu temple. He was very much attracted by an article which came in BTG by His Holiness Vishnujan Swami Maharaj. So he told Prabhupada, see, Vishnujan has written such wonderful article. Prabhupada said, yes, no wonder. Because he chants nicely, he can write nicely. So similarly, Valmiki, he chanted nicely, so he was able to write nicely. So if you chant nicely, you're able to preach nicely. You are chanting nicely, you can serve nicely. So we have to chant nicely. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Yes, we have to chant very well. That's how we... So this was one example that comes to my mind. Another example that came to my mind of a person who, to maintain, of course, he was not maintaining his family, but he was in one sense very sadistic and harming other living entities, is Mrigari. Yes, he was not maintaining family, but he was maintaining family tradition. It was his family's tradition, he had learned from his father, to half kill animals and derive sadistic pleasure. Oh, you would half kill animals and you would ha 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 ha, you would derive pleasure. Yes, so that was his family tradition that he was trying to maintain. And we saw that how wonderfully Narad Muni purifies him. He completely purifies him of his envious tendencies. So it is very important for all of us, the entire world. Actually, there's a verse that comes in the Chanakya Niti. This verse is called a Sarpak Krura Khala Krura Sarpat Krura Tarakhala Mantrausha Dashiva Shak Sarpa Khalakina Nivaryate. So this beautiful shloka, what it says? It says, Sarpak Kruraha. That means the snake is krur or cruel. It's envious. Krura, another meaning of krura is envious. The serpent is envious. And Khala Krura. What is Khala? Khala Khala. Khala means a villain. Typically in Hindi they call Khalnayak. Say Khalnayak. Nayak is hero. Khalnayak is villain. Yes? Villain or vamp, whatever. Khala. Khala. So Khala is an envious person. He's also cruel. He's also very fierce. He's cruel. But out of the two, who is cruel? Who is more cruel? What do you all say? Who is more dangerous? Is it the villain, an envious person, or the snake who is envious? Who is dangerous?
Envious person.
Okay. So there are two votes. One verbally, one textually. Khala, yes, envious person.
Snake is envious.
Shastras say Khala is more envious. He's more dangerous. Sarpa krura, Khala krura, Sarpat. More than Sarpa, krura taraha Khala. Khala is more. He's more envious. Why? Reason, mantraudashi vasha sarpa. By reciting some mantras, you can charm a snake. Yes, you can recite mantras. There's a snake charmer, right? He can do something like that and he tries to charm the snake. On the other hand, Khala kena nivaryate. Yes, how can an evil man be controlled? Yes, you cannot control an evil man. Evil man can only be delivered by the supreme compassion of a pure-hearted Uttamadhikari. Because even a Madhyamadhikari has to discriminate. Prema Maitri Krupopeksha Yat Karoti Sa Madhyama. Madhyama is told Upeksha. If you see a krura, you see an envious person, you stay away from that person. But when you talk about the pure Uttama Bhagavat. He is capable of Uttama Bhagavat has different means to deliver anybody. Yes, Uttama Bhagavat is so powerful that if a person gets a glance of the Uttama Bhagavat casts his glance on that person, the person can become a pure devotee. And Uttama Bhagavat's Vani, if he hears the sound vibration emanating from Uttama Bhagavat, he can also become a pure devotee. It is said so much that if an Uttama Bhagavat doesn't see you or you cannot hear his voice, but even thinks about you in his heart, can make you a pure devotee. That's the power of an Uttama Bhagavat. That is the only ways through bhakti can such a khala be delivered. Otherwise, there is no material methods are not there. The snake mantra ushadi, they are material means to charm a snake, to control a snake. But by no material means can a khala be made into a gentleman. That's possible only by mercy of an Uttam Bhagavat or a pure devotee. Right? So what did we discuss today? We discussed mainly about how envy causes violence. We discussed about the three stages of envy. We discussed some examples of envious demons in the Shastras. Then we discussed about how this tendency of envy is prevalent even in the society of devotees, because we are having connection with matter and material society. Yes. Then how to get rid of this envy? By remembering that everything is vibhuti of Krishna. That's why the Krishna Vibhuti Yoga is a very important chapter, 10th chapter. Yeah, 10th chapter, especially the 41st sloka, which is the crux. That is something we have to see. And then we discussed this part, because Ruru is more cruel than snake, but the cruelest of all, or the most envious person, the most envious entity is an envious person, because there is nothing you can actually do about this person. So if envy is gone, it is said that you are purified of all anarthas, because envy is the first anartha to come and is the last to go. So if a person is non-envious, the person has to be a pure devotee as per Shastras. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. What a beautiful class. Amazing class, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Actually, I was listening just other day to a class from Srila, His Holiness Radha Govinda Swami Maharaj. And he was talking about Grihastha, how Grihastha should live a life. And he was exactly talking about this Ruru bird. So he was explaining this is a snake-type body and it has a back and it will bite you so many times and you are in darkness. So, and today we are reading the same thing. So beautiful. And he was explaining very nicely what Grihasthas do and what you said today. In fact, most of us, we try to, until unless we are not in the Krishna consciousness, we don't come into contact with Srila Prabhupada books. This is what the life is. But you just said, you know, you in the daytime, you work hard, and the nighttime, you sleep or sense gratifications. And Prabhu, thank you for explaining about the different grades of Ayusha, Dvesha, and Matsarya. That was very nice. You know, we can understand which grade we are. We all are at a certain time, this envy in our heart. And I was thinking this population of this hell will be so much, Prabhu, because everybody is doing this. So, and I am in the list too, probably over there. So please pray for me that I can preach there when I'm there. And I was actually thinking about Ram. You know, you said Ram, Ram. I remember when we were small, like grade 5, 6, when we start writing, most of us maybe has this experience. We write Ram, Ram, Ram on the pages, and we fill the pages about Ram, Ram, Ram. It's so beautiful. And probably that has given us this opportunity to meet with the devotees and Srila Prabhupada books. So we should encourage our kids to write Ram. Why not? It's a good word. And thanks for explaining Valmiki, how the ant things is Valmiki. Beautiful, Prabhu. Beautiful class. And Prabhu, in the end, your bean was amazing. I loved that. So thank you. That was lovely bean you play. You can charm any snake of the planet, Prabhu. I'm pretty positive without the bean. Thank you so much, Prabhu. It was a beautiful, beautiful class. Dear devotees, if anybody has any questions, any realizations for Prabhuji, please raise your hand or unmute yourself.
Prabhu, you have got fantastic singing competency. You're good in Sanskrit and you're a very good speaker and you are a pure devotee.
This is all opulence of Krishna. Thank you. And you have the opulence of appreciating. Thank you so much.
He has He has charmed us so much, just like we are snakes and we are becoming now devotees. Hari Bol. Okay.
Yes. You're all pure Vaishnavas.
Thank you very much. So much.
Thank you. Sukhakara Krishna Prabhu and Prahlad Anand Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sukhakara Prabhu and Pralanandar Prabhu. Please bless us. You are the senior devotee, so we need your blessings. Thank you so much.
Prabhu, you are from which part of India, Prabhu? Sanatana Prabhu, you are from which part of India now?
We are residing in Pune. I am originally from Mumbai.
Marathi Maite, Mumbai Chamanas, Jai Maharashtra. I did my CA from Mumbai, though I am a South Indian, but Amchi Mati, Amchi Manas. Hare Krishna.
Very nice. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare.
Sundari Gopi Mataji, please go ahead.
Prabhuji, I just wanted to share something. Envy is something that I have seen from childhood in myself. And now, you know, when children are growing up, girls, you know, especially, she's more beautiful, this is that, this is that. So something that I want to just share, the, you know, it will be everywhere at every point in the day, time, you know, that we see devotees or see others. What I told something to my daughter, rather than envying somebody, ask from Krishna. Okay, she's more beautiful. Krishna, make me beautiful. Rather than envying, ask from Krishna. The lowest level. If you can't, you know, we cannot be where there, you know, oh, I don't want. Okay, you're feeling, having some feelings that, you know, I feel envy or jealous. Ask from Krishna. That will be the, at least, you know, not pulling the other person down. You also ask from Krishna. And then, you know, slowly as you get strength, okay, Krishna, you know, let me get above all this and, you know, not aspire from any for anything. Because for a child, we cannot say, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. She'll be like, you know, oh my God, my mother is gone crazy. So it is applicable to all the devotees also. You know, we may not be able to be in that position like Vritrasur, you know, I don't want na swayambhu, who's lokana. Yes. So not all that. Yes, we should be aware of where we are. And worst come worst, you know, I mean, that at least not, instead of pulling, ask from Krishna. Okay, Krishna, you know, I want to be a better singer. I mean, like a good singer like this person. And this is what my I heard from Sachinandan Maharaj. If you see something very nice in somebody, pray to Krishna, you know, Krishna, if that quality could come in me, even a dot of it, Krishna will give if it is needed, he'll give, rather than envying. And going to down, the consciousness really goes down. Be very honest, because Vrajvihari Prabhu says this. Humility is, at our level, is honesty. It cannot be like, you know, like I'm blade of grass and all that, you know. Being honest is humility. So we practice this envy principle from our level. I'm not at that level where I can say, you know, that person is so nice. I mean, it's nice to see a vibhuti of Krishna, but sometimes I'm so dull, I can't even see the vibhuti. I'm just possessed. I also want that quality. Or, you know, but praying and this is something I wanted to share. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Very nice.
Hari Bol, very beautiful realization, Sundari Gopi Mataji. Thank you for enlightening us too. Harini Devi Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. My question is not related to today's class. I have heard one of your class about Mrityu ke baad kya hota hai.
Okay.
Yes. So I wanted to know, like after death for the human beings, right? So you mentioned in that class that after death there are many sanskars that are performed by the family, and when that person get that body, right, to go on the journey of 1 year, right? So I wanted to know, like in the Hindu term, these sanskars are present, so we perform it, right? But what about in other religion? What happened?
Yeah, even if you see the other religions, there are different ways in which the respective priests of the religion perform some kind of ceremonies of atonement, forgiveness. Yes, so these principles are intact even there, in those scriptures, okay, in their practices. Yes, so mainly the majority of the ceremonies that is carried out by the people who are down to their, for their ancestors, people down the line in the dynasty, are those people who are for majorly for begging pardon. seeking forgiveness for the sins committed, atonement. Yes, so that is the majority. So many of the other religions, they do that. They are having those ceremonies. So they do in their capacity. Yeah.
Okay. And Prabhuji, is it applicable only for human being? For animals, no. We don't go...
Animals are actually living out their karma, right? They are living out their vikarma. That's a sinful, that's a sinful yoni, yeah, papa yoni. So they are suffering for sin in the animal body. So this is applicable only for the human beings in Bharatvarsha. Bharatvarsha is the tract of land in the Jambudvip. Our earth is called Bharatkhand, the ninth island of the Bharatvarsha. So all this particular, it applies for the entire human beings on the Bharatvarsha, only for them.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you, Harini Mataji, for the question. Dear devotees, I have put in chat box a link for that series that Mataji is talking. It's a very beautiful series. If you have time, please go and look. Hare Krishna, Ram Krishna, Prabhuji, please go ahead. Ram Krishna Prabhu has some question in the chat box too. So maybe he's just raising hand. Hare Krishna, Ram Krishna Prabhu, are you there? Okay, we can read the questions in the chat box. Ram Krishna Prabhu has asked a couple of questions in the chat box.
Can you please read it for us, all of us?
Yes. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, does chanting 16 rounds of Maha Mantra assures that we will go back to Godhead, Shri Golok Vrindavan, even if the chanting is not perfect, like chanting in bus, seeing outside bus, or with chattering mind? So this is first question, Prabhu. Maybe we'll
One at a time. When we take the vows of initiation, Prabhu, the vows of initiation say that I will chant the 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra daily on my beats attentively. Yes, attentively is very important. If we are getting distracted, we are having other attractions. Well, no, that is not proper 16 rounds. That's not counted. So that is the vow. As attentively as possible. That's what our Guru Maharaj also says. As attentively as possible means we are endeavoring from our side. I'm a student and not initiated. There's no problem. Even if you are not initiated, we should practice the vows of initiation even when we are not initiated. There's no problem. Even if you are initiated, not initiated, this is the norm. That's what is the expectation that we all have. Serious, sincere, and without ulterior motives. If our chanting is not of that quality, Hare Krishna, then we have to prepare for that quality. Yes, ideally Prabhupada says, I have sections of Prabhupada where he says that at the time of initiation, our student should at least be at the stage of Namavas. My God, what is that expectation? But now the spiritual master is very merciful. He is giving the disciple the qualification of Harinam and engaging the disciple. Okay, no problem. We improve and come eventually to the stage of Namavas. Even the Brahman initiation is given to that disciple who is at the platform of Brahman. Brahma Janati iti Brahman. Seeing no distinction between man and woman. That's just one aspect of Brahman realized. No distinction between man and woman. He's going to dress Radha and Krishna. No distinction. All pure spirit. Bhuta Shuddhi. Many aspects are there. So, we are not qualified for anything. We are given the qualification by the pure souls. So at least what we can do is we can prepare. Yes, we can keep preparing.
Thank you, Prabhu. Chanting
while traveling is perfectly all right. There is no problem. But we should focus on hearing the holy name attentively as much as possible. That's the principle.
Thank you, bro. Very beautiful answer. It's so true. When we can chant, not all of our 16 rounds are very attentive. But whenever we can, it is so blissful. We later feel that bliss. And when we don't chant, we later actually regret and say, oh, Krishna, I'm sorry, but I was unable to chant. So even though unattentive chanting will still give us benefit, but it's better to chant.
It's very simple. Anyway, we have to spend that much of time for chanting.
Yes. The time
anyway,
is same.
We have to sit and chant. So why not do our best?
And the second question, Prabhu, is there is one more question. So sun god is often called Surya Narayan. So is sun Surya Narayan?
No. Surya Deva is different. Surya Deva is a deity, demigod deity. Okay. Aruna is the driver. And Surya Narayan is the super soul of the sun planet, who is actually golden form of Narayana. I've given a class on Bhakti Sangha Japa only. you can visit that. I have clarified this several times. This is, I guess, 5.24.3. I think that's a number. Yes, 5.24.3, Movements of the Sun. I had given this class. I had given it twice. I gave the same class in here in Pune Temple also. You both had given me the same shlokas.
Very well. Thank you, Prabhu. Sir Mishta Priyadarshini Mataji, please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Prabhuji, firstly, thank you so much for such a wonderful section. Prabhuji, I'm eagerly waiting to hear the pastimes of Lord Jagannath from you. So, because Rath Yatra is also coming and Devasnan Purnima is coming. So, is there any class in coming days? So, we can hear about Lord Jagannath.
Definitely.
Yes, Prabhuji. I don't have any questions, but I want to share something. You just mentioned about the enviousness, which before coming into Krishna consciousness, I was very much envious. because of mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj, now I can't say that completely it's gone, but somehow I'm feeling like it's now bit less. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. So I just
thank
want
you
to
so much.
It's all because of ISKCON, all because of ISKCON and Srila Prabhupada. That's I can say.
Very well. Very
well. Thank
that's
you.
The right consciousness. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Sir Mishta Mataji. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Prabhu, do you have a little more time? Because like chat boxes continue filling with questions here.
Actually, that's what I'm getting. There are some of my students also sitting here. They're constantly probing, Prabhuji, next class is going to start. We just say, Prahlad Anand Prabhu wants to say something, he's a senior Vaishnava.
Hari Bol, Prabhuji. I said, Deya Sada Savitra Mandal Madhyavarti Narayan Sarsi Asan Sannivisto. I read in Prabhupada Maharaj's purport in somewhere. So,
yes.
That Narayan is super soul or Narayan himself is...
He's the Savitra Mandala. It's a Rigved mantra what you quoted.
A Rigved, yeah, that's right.
Yes. Okay. There's a Rigved mantra which is there in the purport also. The same verse,
right.
524, 3 Prabhupada has mentioned the same thing. In the purport,
yeah.
What one should meditate while, even our Bharat Maharaj in the 5th canto of Bhagavatam, the same 5th canto, he was meditating on that super soul only. So this is addressing to the super soul form of Lord called Hiranyarbha.
Hari Bol.
Yes. Hare.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm really sorry I could have served all Vaishnavas, but I have actually the program was supposed to start at 6. I'm already late. I'm supposed to travel to another flat and then give the program.
No, Prabhu. It's understandable, Prabhu. That's why I asked, because I know you're so busy with so many sessions. So with your permission, Prabhu, we'll end the class. Dear devotees, very sorry that Prabhu is busy with the next class. So maybe in the next section, you can ask the questions to Prabhu with Prabhu's permission. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu, for your class and for your time. All the time you come to Bhakti Sangha and give so much of time and love to us, Prabhu. And we are very grateful to you, Prabhu, and look forward for your association again in the future for sure, Prabhu. Thank you. Dear devotees, let us pray our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha kalpataru bhashya cha chapa sindhu vaiva cha patitanam kipa vaishnavibhyo ग्रंथरा श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय कृत गुरु शीला प्रभुपाद जी की जय सनातन धर्म प्रभु की जय
हरे कृष्ण
प्रणाम प्रभु जी
प्रभु
जी
प्रणाम
प्रभु जी हरे कृष्ण प्रभु सॉरी टू एवरीबॉडी